From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Over the weekend, the Illinois General Assembly finished its spring legislative session that included passing a state budget. But lawmakers put off work on a number of other important topics, including how to keep Chicago-area mass transit agencies from going over a fiscal cliff, so to speak, and who should pay for the guardrails. On top of that, a number of Governor J.B. Pritzker's priorities were shelved, including a proposal to let community colleges offer bachelor's degrees in high-demand fields, and another to ban cell phones from classrooms. We'll be talking through all this for the hour today. If you have a question or comment about how state spending affects you personally, please give us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. Joining me first today is Emmanuel Chris Welch, Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. He's a Democrat from Hillside in the suburbs of Chicago. Speaker Welch, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Brian, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
How do you assess what the House accomplished this spring?
I think we had a very successful session. My goal going into the session was to pass another responsible and compassionate, balanced budget. We did that, and I'm proud of the work that we did. We did it with a new chief of staff, a new deputy chief of staff, a lot of talented people who stepped into new roles, and we did it in a top-notch way. And so we're very proud of what we accomplished and, looking forward to building on that.
Governor Pritzker, throughout the session this year, talked about hard choices having to be made. What were some of those hard choices you ultimately ended up making?
Well, we had to plug a $1.3 billion budget hole. And we didn't want to do that on the backs of working families. And so we knew that this budget was going to require a balance of cuts and revenues. And we were able to do that. We found a lot of efficiencies in the budget, almost $400 million in efficiencies. And we also found some revenues. We were able to find some non-broad-based revenues, like taxing wealthy corporations that do business overseas, taxes on new tobacco products like vaping products and high-volume sports books. And we were able to put together a budget and a revenue package that was balanced, that's going to continue to fund vital human resources.
Let me ask you about how those decisions were made to get to that $800 million in new revenue. You mentioned some of these so-called sin taxes, right? Sports betting, nicotine pouches, things like that. Studies have shown that those disproportionately affect the poor. I wonder why you think that's the best way to balance the state's budget this year.
Well, our goal was to find things that in Illinois, the Department of Revenue, say, have been generating significant sources of revenue for the state over the last few years. What we have seen is expansion in those areas, particularly in the gaming area, in the vaping area. Those have been expansions. And so those are areas that the state saw opportunity that we could modernize our tax structure with regard to those industries. Vaping is a relatively new thing. High volume sports booking is a new thing. And we're making sure that our taxing structure takes that into account. Also, our corporate taxing of businesses that do a lot overseas. That's another way to capture more revenue. We did not have to pass any broad-based tax revenues that are going to hurt working families anywhere across the state.
Well, I suppose other than the working families who gamble and use tobacco products, right?
Well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
And if they do that, they're going to help contribute to our state coffers.
One of the revenue opportunities that was explored, at least on the Senate side of the General Assembly, was an idea of a tax on digital advertising. Both Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg of Twitter and Facebook, respectively, they are viewed unfavorably by the public, at least according to a Pew survey earlier this year. Why not seize the opportunity to tax their revenue?
Well, that idea had some support in a survey that was done by the House as well. However, we saw what happened in Maryland. There's currently a lawsuit pending in the state of Maryland. I think waiting to see the results of that lawsuit are very important. We also saw that Maryland, shortly after passing of that tax, that was challenged. Their credit was downgraded. And so there was no need for us to prematurely tackle that. I think we need to continue to have more conversations around it. I think we need to let the pending lawsuits that are in place around it play out, and answer any other remaining questions that may be out there. This year, we were able to find ways to balance our budget that didn't include that. Although I can tell you, there was some significant support in the House for that as well.
How do you respond to criticism that this budget relies too heavily on one-time revenue sources, things like, tax amnesty programs for entities that owe back taxes maybe to the state, or sweeping state funds that are supposed to, funds are collected, fees are collected for one purpose, but we're going to take that money and potentially use it for general state spending. How do you respond to that critique?
Well, Brian, I won't speak for the Republicans and their partisan rhetoric, but I can assure you that my side of the aisle vastly prefers a delinquent tax amnesty program to a broad-based tax on working families. And we felt strongly about that. And collecting revenues from a delinquent tax amnesty program from individuals and corporations, I think, was a good idea proposed by the governor in his introduced budget. And I'm glad that it saw it into the final product.
What about the fund sweeps? And I know maybe we're getting into a bit of a technical stuff in state government here, but I mean, this was a long time practice in state governance for a long time, and I think it hasn't been done as much recently. Why go back to that?
Well, again, the state, rather than impose a budget that had cuts on working class families all across the state, hurting people like seniors, hurting schools. We took a real deep look at this budget. We went line by line through state revenues and expenditures. And as a result of that, we identified a number of funds that were healthy funds that actually have the ability to regenerate funds. And we decided for this year to sweep some of those funds. I think that was a responsible thing to do to avoid balancing a budget on the backs of working people and seniors.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives, Chris Welch. 800-222-9455. If you have a question for the Speaker, he's with us only for about the next 8 minutes, so do not wait. 800-222-9455. All right, let's talk about the fiscal cliff facing mass transit agencies in the Chicago area, obviously the biggest population center of Illinois. Why did that funding bill failed to pass the House?
Well, first of all, Brian, let me say that since I put a transit working group together in the House, that we always said that we needed to talk about reform before we talked about funding. And I can tell you that my leaders, Evadina Delgado and Cam Buckner, who are transit wonks, transit geeks, who just love and are passionate about transit, should be applauded for the work that they've done. And they have maintained that reforms have to come first. They're very close. They're not there yet. There's still some differences, and we needed to make sure that we get reforms done first. We cannot ask taxpayers to put more money into a failing system. We were committed to that, and we're still committed to that. Most folks believe the system is failing, and we need to improve ridership. We need to improve safety. We need to improve efficiencies, and we need to have legal commitments to doing that before we pour money into a failing system. The money doesn't run out till December 31st. We're going to be back before December 31st in veto session, and there's still time to get things done.
Although there are those who say that, decisions and cuts will have to come before December 31st. Is that part of the strategy to let the sort of pain build up in the system to sort of justify if there does have to be a broad-based tax on, say, deliveries as the Senate proposed?
Well, listen, I think those systems have to make the management decisions. They have to decide what's the most efficient way to run those systems. But I can control what I can control, and that's the House of Representatives. And I believe that it's important that we take our time and get it right. We got to make sure we produce the best results. We don't pass bills because other folks are rushing us to do it. Other folks want us to make their jobs easier. That's not our job. Our job is to take our time and do it right. And that's what we're committed to doing.
Later in the show, we're going to be speaking with somebody from the Illinois Black Agenda who wrote a report called The Black Budget Agenda with some advocacy proposals here in Illinois. I know the Black Caucus was particularly dissatisfied after the governor's budget address. As Speaker of the entire House of Representatives, I wonder what you did specifically to address that caucus's concerns in this process.
Well, if you see the budget that was passed, the budget, the BEP, the revenue proposals, every single bill was passed with super majorities. I don't believe there was any dissension from any of my sub caucuses. As I told them, diversity is the strength of our caucus, but our power comes from our unity. And we were going to put a budget on the board that focused on the values of the entire caucus. And we did that. And I think each of our sub caucuses saw some wins in the budget. None of them got everything they wanted, but they saw some significant wins in the budget that they can all go home and be proud of.
One other thing I do want to ask you about. Republicans question the $40 million appropriation for Proviso Township High School. And I think the big idea there, beyond just, being a sort of gotcha moment to try to get at you, is that this is, pretty specialized state spending at a time when people are talking about the need for austerity and holding back. And I should mention, you were on the school board there for many years before being elected to the state legislature. I guess I'll just start by asking directly, did you pull strings to get that funding in there?
Listen, my local school district that I graduated from, that I served on the school board, came to me with a project that could be transformative, not just for Proviso Township, but for the entire region. And I was proud to support it. And I do believe it's going to be transformative for the entire region. Proviso sits on the west end of Cook County. It's going to help Cook County. It's going to help DuPage. It's going to be a real big boom for this entire region. And I'm really proud of that, but I can also tell you what I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact that this budget funds infrastructure and local economic development projects and communities statewide in red districts and blue districts. This budget, since I've been speaker, has funded projects in Kane and McHenry, a $30 million bridge for or $30 million for a bridge in Kane and McHenry County, $33 million for a sports complex in Tinley Park, millions of dollars for projects on the south side of Chicago, millions of dollars for Fermi Lab in Batavia, and universities across the state. The point I'm making is the budget invests in projects all across the state. And the last time I saw the governor doing ribbon cuttings was in Republican districts. He was in Jacksonville, Illinois recently. He was in Marion, Illinois recently. And those are Republican districts. And we're proud to support projects all over the state. And I'm certainly proud to support something that's going to be big for my area as well.
Just a few minutes left in our time together. I want to ask about, obviously, the big question mark is still hanging over Illinois' state budget, as it is for many states, and that is what is happening in Washington. Potential major cuts to the Medicaid program, which is a joint state-federal program of health care for the poor and people who are disabled. How do you anticipate Trump administration and Republican congressional policies affecting Illinois government going forward?
We are definitely in some uncertain times. And I can tell you what's being slammed through Congress right now. There's no state in the union that's going to be able to backfill those types of cuts that are being talked about right now. And so we passed a responsible and compassionate, balanced budget based on the information that we have. We included some tools to help us manage through the uncertainty, like a bridge fund. Transfer powers to help our state's financial officers move funds to meet immediate needs. But at the end of the day, we know that at any day, life can change based on a tweet coming out of Mar-a-Lago. And so we need to remain vigilant. We need to remain compassionate. And that's why I've told my colleagues all along that we need to be ready. We need to stay on the ready to return and continue our work if the situation in Washington warrants that. It's
Yeah,
just
this is,
very
sorry to
fluid.
interrupt. I was just to say, this is the first time in many, well, first time in anyone I've spoken to can remember when there was not a specific date set for the fall veto session. What is the plan to come back into session potentially if facts in Washington warrant that?
Well, the fall veto session, we will likely be back in October. We're just finalizing those dates with the two chambers, but we will likely be back in October for our veto session. If we have to come back anytime sooner than that for special session, we'll make that call then. We just have to stay vigilant. There's still the reconciliation bill being considered in the United States Senate. It will have to go back to the House, but we have to stay vigilant on what happens there. And if we have to, we've told our caucus in the House to stay ready.
Last question, just about 20 seconds. What do you see as the most important work that still needs to happen between now and the end of the year?
Oh, there's so much work to be done. We still need to address the transit fiscal cliff. Even though we didn't do it in May, we intend to stay committed to getting it done before the end of the year. There's still a lot of questions to address in a whole lot of areas, and the work will continue.
Chris Welch is Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. He's a Democrat from Hillside. Mr. Speaker, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay right here.